Now we're going to hear from God's word in Scripture from Luke chapter 7.
This is the passage in which Jesus is anointed by a sinful woman. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through to verse 50, which is on page 789, if you want to follow it in the church Bible. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, cancelling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he cancelled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The men at the table said among themselves, "Who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you. It is right on this day that we remember those who have died in war. It is right that every week we come here and we remember the one who died almost 2,000 years ago. And Christians through the centuries have said that this death is the one that is the most significant. We meet together to thank God for what he has achieved through the death of Jesus. And if it is true that at times in history people have been set free because of the deaths of some people, this is the point at which the whole human race has been set free by the action of one man. Jesus, the man who was killed, executed by an occupying army. Yes, he was a victim of warfare. He died for you. He died for me. And we come together because we are grateful for what he has done. And in our Bible reading today, this woman comes, and boy, is she grateful for what Jesus has done for her. She wants to welcome Jesus. Now, many years ago, when my children were very little, our youngest son was, to put it mildly, lively. It was impossible to get Jonathan to stay still. And, you know, when people told us to do it, we would ask them to try it and see if they were capable of doing it, but we never found anybody who was. This meant that going out into the shops was always quite an adventure. If there was a bucket with drawing pins anywhere in the shop, you could guarantee that John would find it. And I can remember once being in a shop. I was going to say I won't name the shop, but given the shop doesn't exist anymore, it was BHS. And we were in this shop, and John found the box slightly behind the counter with the drawing pins, and I was getting very worried about what he would do with them. And I said to the lady, "Excuse me, but please, you know, that is dangerous there. Can you move it here?" And I got this huge telling off. I should be able to control my son. It wasn't their fault that there were a load of drawing pins there. Well, actually, I think it is. But anyway, but in those times, there was one place where we felt safe. It was our safe haven. It was the McDonald's in Barkingside. That was the one place that we could go to and we would just relax. Because in McDonald's, they had this woman who was, I don't know, like the floor manager. You know, her job was to check that everything out front was okay, make sure it was clean. And she adored Jonathan. So every other shop that we would go into, we would go in really, really nervous. You know, how's it going to be in here? And then we'd go into this one place. We'd open the door and we'd hear this word, "Jonathan!" And Jonathan would run towards this woman and she would take him by the hand. And she'd take him behind the counter. I'm sure she wasn't allowed to do this. She would take him behind the counter and give him a free drink and sort of find the toy that McDonald's were giving away at the time and give one to him. And while she was doing this, we just relaxed. It was just the most wonderful place that the parents of this little boy could go to. And when I read this story in Luke chapter 7, I think of McDonald's in Barkingside in the mid-1990s. And I think of that woman. I'm sure that if ever this recording reaches her, I doubt it will, she will be rather shocked to find out that she's been remembered all these years on. But I think of her because she went beyond just saying, "Hello." We knew from the whole tone of her voice that she loved our son. And in our story today, in the Bible, there are two people who make an attempt at welcoming Jesus. There is the official host. And goodness me, he's put on a meal for Jesus. He welcomes Jesus into his home. He's come to listen to what Jesus has got to say. But as Jesus pointed out, it was all really half-hearted. "You didn't kiss me, you didn't greet me, you didn't give me the oil." You see, this woman has not stopped kissing my feet. This woman has made sure that I am welcome here. As we look to Jesus today, let's not be the people who are the half-hearted welcomers of Jesus, who do the stuff out of duty, but actually welcome Jesus. "Jesus, how glad we are you are here. How wonderful it is to have your presence with us today. How amazing that you should die on the cross for us. How incredible that you give your Holy Spirit to us. How wonderful that you call us to be your family. How amazing that you welcome people like us. And Lord, we welcome you here in this place. We are so glad that you are here. I put a little task on my blog on the website this week, which a few people have taken up. I asked people to define what Jesus came to do in less than 10 words. And I got a few interesting answers. But the answer to that I want to draw your attention to is actually just a couple of verses before where our reading came in today, where Jesus says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking." Oh, we could say things which perhaps are more profound. We could say that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That would be good. We could say that Jesus came to die for us. We could say that Jesus came to bring eternal life. And that would all be wonderful and incredible. But here is Jesus talking about himself. And he says, "I came to eat and drink with people." He says, people don't like it. People think that I'm mixed with all the wrong sorts of people. People think that I'm friends to people that I shouldn't be friends with. But that's what I've come to do. So it's no surprise after Jesus saying that, that we immediately get into a story of Jesus eating and drinking with people. Now, I've done my sums. I think that there are 9 recorded meals in the Gospel of Luke. 9 times we are given a story of Jesus eating with people. There's the meal in Peter's house where Peter's mother-in-law served Jesus. The tax collector Levi throws Jesus not just a meal, it's described as a banquet. No half measures here. Levi is so delighted that Jesus has called him to follow him that he makes a huge celebration for it. We have here Simon the Pharisee inviting Jesus to dinner, the meal that gets gatecrashed by this so-called sinful woman. We have the great open-air feast, Jesus feeding the 5,000, somehow taking a very small gift and making it into something wonderful. Martha cooked for Jesus. And Jesus actually had to teach her that sometimes the place to be isn't in the kitchen, but actually listening to what Jesus has to say. Jesus went to eat, it says, at the home of a prominent Pharisee, a leader of a group of people who didn't like what Jesus was saying, but Jesus still went and ate with them. Jesus invites himself to the home of Zacchaeus. On the night in which he is betrayed, he hosts a meal for his disciples, which other people lay on for him. And after the resurrection, he breaks bread with Cleopas and his friend. And at that moment, they recognize him and they realize that he is alive. When Jesus says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking," he meant it. Now, if I'm laboring this the week before we have a church lunch, that is not coincidence. We are here to be family together. That's what we're going to be looking at the evening service today. And just as Jesus loved to eat with people, so he calls us to come together and to eat and to be family together and to enjoy each other's company. And next week, we have a special guest. Okay, well, I'm going to give you a practical task for next week. See if we can learn something from our Bible reading today. We're going to come together. We're going to eat. Please do come. If you possibly can, please do stay for the meal. If you normally come to the evening service, we've cancelled that for next week. So you're not going to have to go home and come straight back out again. But I would love Ashley to feel next Sunday that she really is our honoured guest. I would really love her to feel that she is somebody who is very, very special to us. So how about we all try and think of something that we could do for next Sunday to make Ashley feel special? Yeah. I would love it. I would love it if Ashley, at the end of her time, Rich, she's going back to Thailand, going back to do the great things that God has called her to do there, if she was to say, you know those people at Mills Hill? They gave me a welcome like no other. It wasn't a half-hearted welcome. It wasn't a welcome like Simon the Pharisee did to Jesus, which was kind of there, but not really there. These were people who, they've never even met me before, but they loved me. And they showed me how much I mean to them. Now, I'd like to do that for Ashley. So maybe you could think of, you know, I know we brought gifts for Wood Street last week. Maybe you could think of something that you could do for her for next Sunday. Don't do exactly what this woman did, because that would be really weird. But think of doing something. Let's make it special. And it's not just that we want to honour Ashley, but when we honour people who are doing God's work, we honour God. Yeah, that's what Jesus says to his disciples. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Yeah, how we treat God's people is the way that we treat God. So let's do it, not just to honour somebody who's doing great work for God on the other side of the world, but let's do it for the glory of God. Let's say that he matters. Let's say that his people matter. So that's my challenge for you today. When I was looking at the lifting the lid notes on this passage, the title that was given for this reading was accepted. And the point that they were making was that this woman behaved in strange, embarrassing ways, and Jesus still accepted her. Oh, no, that's not right. Jesus didn't accept her. Jesus loved it. Jesus thought it was wonderful. Jesus thought this was the best welcome ever. The prize for the best welcome to Jesus goes to this woman who other people called sinful. That wouldn't be great if this church really gets the prize for welcoming. You know, we're good at welcoming people the first time we come. We know that because we ask people to fill in cards the first time they come, and time and time again, they say this church is a welcoming church. This is a friendly church. Praise God for that. That is fantastic. But I'm wondering if next Sunday we can just go a bit OTT. Yeah, I wonder if next Sunday a lot of us can actually find a way of saying to Ashley, Ashley, we are so pleased that you are here. Well, let your imagination work on it. Let your ideas flow over the next week. This woman in the story kisses Jesus' feet. I do research on interesting things as a minister. I've been doing research on kissing in the Roman Empire to try and see the significance of what she did. And here's what I discovered. That if you were a Roman citizen, at the right time, you were permitted to kiss the emperor. The part of the body on which you could kiss him was determined by your status. Yeah, the people who were almost on a level with the emperor were allowed to kiss him on the cheek. And so it went down to the people who were just Roman citizens and nothing in particular, and they were allowed to kiss his feet. So when you kissed the feet of the emperor, you were saying two things. First of all, you were saying, I'm a Roman citizen, I'm not a slave, I am actually somebody who is important around here. But also you were saying, you're the one who's really important. And that's what I think this woman was doing for Jesus. She was saying, I am somebody around here. That's how Jesus interpreted it. This woman knows that she is forgiven. This woman knows that every wrong thing that she's done has been wiped out. That's the idea of the word forgiveness. Everything she's ever done. And while everybody else is looking down on her, and while this host, Simon, thinks I shouldn't be accepting this because she is a sinner, this woman knows who she is. This woman knows that she is special. This woman knows that Jesus loves her. and is so, so glad to see her. And as we come to worship, as we come to welcome the Lord amongst us, we too are saying that we are somebody. We too are saying that we are forgiven people. We too are saying that no matter what we have ever done, Jesus forgives us. Now, I know some of us have a hard time accepting this. I know some of us struggle. Am I good enough? Am I not good enough? No, you're not good enough. That's the whole point. If you try and get through to Jesus on the basis that you're good enough, forget it. It just won't work. You're doomed to a lifetime of failure if you are trying to be good enough for Jesus. This woman didn't approach Jesus on the basis that she was good enough. She approached Jesus on the basis that she was forgiven. And for all of us, if we are honest, there's so much that God needs to forgive us for. Well, here is the good news. He has. Jesus says to this woman, your sins are forgiven. And again, I've researched this text. Jesus is not saying, I'm forgiving your sin now. He's saying your sin was already forgiven. It was because she was forgiven that she came in and she made this exhibition of herself. Not that she was trying to draw attention to herself, but just out of sheer love for the Lord. And we come in to worship, believing that we have been given status in Him. Believing that we've been given something special, made something special, not on the basis that we are good, but on the basis that we are forgiven. But this woman was also saying that Jesus was something wonderful. If the Roman citizen could give the emperor the kiss on the feet, so this woman can acknowledge just how incredible her Lord and Savior is. We look up to Him in incredible awe. And Jesus tells a story today. He tells a story about two people who owed some money. One of them was owed something like 50 days' wages. The other one about 500 days' wages. The man forgives both of them. Jesus says, which one of them do you think will love the man more? Well, I suppose the one who's been forgiven the most. Exactly. And you see this woman? Do you see why she loves me so much? You know, if you're trying to be good and if you think you can't be good, great. Because if there's loads of stuff in your life that is wrong, then God forgives it. You're the one who can love much. But to get to that point of loving much, you have to accept that you are forgiven much. You have to accept that God isn't holding it against you. You have to take Jesus at His word. That when He died on that cross, it was to forgive your sin. And when we respond, He doesn't just accept it, He loves it. Simon's problem, I think, was that he saw himself in the aisle 50 and not the 500. He thought there wasn't much wrong with his life. You know, I don't want to be a half-hearted believer like Simon the Pharisee was. I don't want to be someone who thinks, well, God has forgiven me, but it wasn't very much, and therefore I don't have to respond very much. And this is a point the Gospels make again and again. It's far better to come to Jesus as a guilty person, amazed at the forgiven verdict and living in that, than it is to be thinking, yeah, I'm not so bad after all. So please, let's act like forgiven people. Let's celebrate like forgiven people. And as we do that, we come into the love of God and we appreciate the love of God. And as we learn to be loved by God, so we can learn what it means to love other people too. I read this week in one of Richard Rohr's devotionals this week. And he writes this. He says, to be aware of God's loving presence in our lives, we must accept that human culture is in a mass hypnotic trance. If God's love is as wonderful as the Bible says it is, if God's love is as wonderful as we experience it, then most of the world, most of the time, just doesn't have a clue. This lady had a clue. This lady got it. So Jesus says to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head. Lost me place. Where'd it go? You did not pour on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, how many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Jesus says to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests go, what? Who's this who can forgive sins? Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Got faith in Jesus today? Hear those words. Your faith has saved you. Let's try and give a response to it that makes sense. And as a practical response, let's make Ashley really welcome next Sunday. Let's treat her as somebody who comes to us representing the Lord. Let's be grateful for all the great things that she is doing. And let's come too eager to listen to what she's got to say.